Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Washington County Emergency Management Coordinator Deborah Svoboda had submitted her resignation effective March 31st and recommended the commissioners consider hiring a joint coordinator with Marshall County. With that in mind, Commissioner Ouellette at Monday's meeting asked the county dispatch office if the dispatch was fully staffed and if the county dispatch and county emergency management could share part-time positions. No decisions were reached. Medical Lodges inquired about purchasing Washington County's home health license and in turn providing home health services to Washington County residents under their agency. Medical Lodges owns the nursing home in Clay Center and recently purchased the Clay County Home Health Agency. Medical Lodges was given permission to pursue the information about Washington County Home Health Agency, although no decisions on the issue were reached at Monday's meeting. Interim County Health Administrator Mary Olschlager asked for an increase in the wage of a health department office clerk. The board later in the meeting responded they would not be raising the salary because that would be unfair to other employees and undermine the whole purpose of the new wage scale, which took effect January 1st. Additionally, the previous health department administrator raised all health department employees' wages to the highest possible level on the wage scale, therefore eliminating any upward movement on the scale. Nemaha County Commissioners met Monday. County Commissioners had discussed recently that they need to make a decision on whether or not they will maintain roads in third-class cities that connect county roads. That followed a request from the city of Oneida for road repair. No immediate decisions were made. An injury accident was reported March 14th, 6 miles west of Barnston on Highway 8 at 23rd Road. Cynthia McAuliffe, age 32, of Alexandria, was attempting to pass Donald Jurgens, age 68, of Wymore. McAuliffe struck the Jurgens vehicle. Cynthia McAuliffe was taken by helicopter to a Lincoln hospital. Jurgens refused treatment for injuries. Willard Carl Brunsbach, age 91, of Liberty, passed away Monday. Funeral service Friday, 10:30, at the Laughlin Ovitt Funeral Home of Wymore. Interment in the Evangelical Lutheran Brunsbach Cemetery at Liberty. Visitation Thursday from 10 until 9. Family will see friends Thursday from 7 until 8:30 at the Laughlin Ovitt Funeral Home of Wymore, in charge of arrangements for Willard Brunsbach. Robert Karras, age 83, of Pawnee County, passed away March 3rd. A celebration of life service is planned Monday, March 28th, 2 p.m. at the Faith Baptist Church, Pawnee City. Query Mortuary of Pawnee City in charge of arrangements for Robert Karras. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch menu today, barbecue meatballs, cheesy potatoes, wheat bread, mixed veggie, fruit, and jello. KNDY News time is 7:13.
Are you done yet? I need to get ready.
Well, maybe you should have gotten up sooner.
You've been in there for an hour. Come on, I need in there.
Does this happen at your home? Would you like to eliminate all the yelling and buy a bigger house? Well, you can by talking with United Bank and Trust about home loans. Go online to www.ubankonline.com or head to your local branch to visit with a loan officer. United Bank and Trust. You bank, we deliver. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Here's your KNDY weather eye forecast powered by weatherology.com for Northeast Kansas and Southeast Nebraska. Well, we still have this large low-pressure system that is still making its way out of the central and eastern parts of the Midwest and into the northeast parts of the United States. We're still seeing some snow showers across parts of the Midwest and rain showers and thunderstorms ahead of this cold front, like I said, that is moving into the southeast parts of the United States and into the northeast. It looks like as we head throughout the rest of this Thursday, we will see gradual clearing skies as a high-pressure system moves in. We're going to see temperatures in the upper 40s. Winds won't be as bad as yesterday. We'll see wind gusts as high as right around 25 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to right around in the upper 20s. It looks like for tomorrow, partly sunny skies, breezy, much warmer. We'll see temperatures back up into the lower 60s. Tomorrow night, chance of rain showers with a low near 39. For Saturday, chance of rain, high of 51. This is meteorologist Megan Mulford.
From almost 80 yesterday to snowfall overnight, welcome to springtime in Kansas. A dusting of snow across our listening area. Average high temperature late March, 59. The average low, 35. Sunset this evening at 7:39. Sunrise in the morning at 7:18. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Thursday, the 24th of March. KNDY News Time, 7:15. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
Making headlines 40 years ago in 1976, our nation celebrates its bicentennial. Jimmy Carter is elected president. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest wins the Academy Award for Best Picture. And Hill Home Furnishings opens in Beatrice, Nebraska, now celebrating their big 40th anniversary sale. You can save big on these and other in-store specials, like an oak 57-inch desk for $775, a Lazy Boy Big Man's Recliner for $588, or a Broy Hill sofa for $699. Stop in to say happy anniversary to Jim Hill and his staff at Hill Home Furnishings on North 5th Street in Beatrice.
For over 50 years, Orscheln Farm and Home has been your go-to for, well, just about everything. And Friday, March 25th, get it all for less during our six-hour sale. From 6 a.m. to noon, get 2-cubic-foot Miracle-Gro potting mix just $10.99 and 24-pack of bottled water just $1.99. You could earn a free gift card worth up to $100. The six-hour sale, Friday, March 25th. For more information or a location near you, visit us at OrschlandFarmHome.com.
This is an Ag Business Update, powered by AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. National Cattlemen's Beef Association has named Kendall Frazier as its new chief executive officer. NCBA President Tracy Bruner of Kansas has made the announcement, saying he's confident that the nation's oldest and largest cattle industry association is in good hands. Frazier was serving as the interim CEO before the announcement, a post he had held since June of last year. Frazier said he's honored and excited for the opportunity to serve as CEO, adding his priorities will be working with NCBA stakeholders to oppose the continued assault by government on private property rights while working to expand open markets around the world for U.S. beef. Frazier raised on a cattle and grain operation in south central Kansas, graduated from K-State, and began his career as a farm broadcaster before joining the staff of KLA. And then he joined the National Cattlemen's Association staff in 1985. USDA says leaders from across U.S. agriculture and food sectors expressing support and optimism and new opportunities for collaboration with their Cuban counterparts. Secretary Tom Vilsack announced research and promotion programs and marketing order organizations may conduct research and information sharing with Cuba. The groups represent U.S. beef, pork, corn, soybeans, and other commodities and are responsible for creating bonds with consumers and businesses around the world in support of U.S. agriculture. This announcement was made while Vilsack was traveling in Cuba with the president. And following the announcement, numerous farm and checkoff organizations expressed optimism regarding interaction with Cuba. And in case you missed it, an agreement between the Sorghum Checkoff, K-State, and the Kansas Grain Sorghum Commission seeks to increase grain sorghum productivity and expand markets by 2025. The coordinated effort of the Collaborative Sorghum Investment Program will operate through the Center of Sorghum Development at K-State in Manhattan. With this Ag Business Update, powered by AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers.
Ag News from Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Craig Mead. Good morning. Kansas Governor Sam Brownback declared a state of disaster emergency for an area of south central Kansas that has been threatened by major wildfires. A wildfire started in Oklahoma Tuesday, spread into Kansas Wednesday, and burned about 41,000 acres in Comanche County before it moved into Barber County. A statement from the Kansas Adjutant General's office early Thursday, that's this morning, declared the fire was under control in Comanche County, but not yet in Barber County. It added voluntary evacuations have ended in the Lake City and Sun City communities. Medicine Lodge was evacuated for a time. A couple of homes burned at the north edge of Medicine Lodge. There have been no injuries, major injuries reported because of the fire. U.S. Highway 160 was closed for a time in Comanche County Wednesday as smoke made travel nearly impossible across that highway. The wind today, Thursday, is not expected to decrease much. The only difference is the direction from which the wind will blow. Wind advisories are still in effect for much of Kansas and Oklahoma. Northwest winds today as opposed to southwest winds the last couple of days. In other news, the American Soybean Association calls this week announcements by the USDA regarding Cuba an incremental step for building export markets on the island nation. USDA announced this week farmers may soon be able to use federal checkoff funds for marketing, promotion, and research in Cuba.
Any breaks in the wall, any incremental victories like this are a sign of progress in Cuba. I think what's really important to remember, though, is we're a long way from business as usual in Cuba.
American Soybean Association spokesman Patrick Delaney. Soil temperature report this morning as of 7 a.m. Temperatures are still in the 30s across Nebraska. We are seeing a pocket of upper 30s in far northwest Kansas, mid-40s elsewhere. The panhandle of Oklahoma, mid-40s to low 50s. Ag News, Mid-America Ag Network.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most essential industry, agriculture. Let's take a peek into the crystal ball and see what the future holds for ethanol. After this,
Farming America is brought to you by Stories from the Heartland by Max Armstrong. As one of America's favorite farm broadcasters for over 40 years, Max has been spreading the good word about the great work being done by the men and women who feed the world. Max has met some fascinating people along the way, and his book, Stories from the Heartland, is a beautiful, hardcover, full-color tribute to those people and to the American farmer. Max's book is available at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon, but for an autographed copy, go to MaxArmstrongBook.com and look for the Farming America window for a special price. That's MaxArmstrongBook.com for your autographed copy. The farmer in your life will love this book. The website again, MaxArmstrongBook.com. Now, if you have a book you'd like to publish, contact Max's publishers and they'll chat with you about options. You can find their contact information on Max's website, MaxArmstrongBook.com.
Let's bring in the crystal ball and polish it up a little bit and ask Greg Groh of Archer Financial Services to take a peek and tell us what he sees for ethanol production and the export of that product.
I think the global demand for ethanol and the global demand for ethanol byproducts, primarily the DDGs, that has been a very strong part of the component to ethanol plant profitability the last few years, but we're noting a slowdown there with China trying to rid itself of large surpluses of corn there within the country, which is diminishing their appetite for DDGs right now. I think the ethanol industry is quite excited about the prospects of exports of ethanol in the years ahead. As you mentioned, with the kind of a stagnant overall fuel demand here in the U.S. the last few years, we're going to need those exports to continue to maintain strong production in the ethanol industry in the years ahead. And so it'll be interesting to watch, but I know that from what I can tell, the ethanol industry has high hopes right now for building and furthering their export markets.
While we're on the subject of energy and noting how low the price of crude oil has been and no immediate recovery expected there, has that trading impacted the ag commodity markets?
I believe that's undoubtedly the case. It's certainly a very big component in overall commodity price levels. And from my perspective, until we get the crude oil market stabilized and it stops this free fall that we're in, it's going to be hard to justify major rallies in most other commodity categories.
Greg Groh of Archer Financial Services. And how are producers reacting to this bear market? Are they focusing on better marketing techniques or just trying to hold down costs, or both?
I think producers are more attuned to marketing. Over the years, I've watched producers become much more involved in marketing and interested in marketing. Unfortunately, we're in a time right now where price levels are below the cost of production into our second year of that type of an environment right now. It's going to cause financial stress. Highly leveraged operators are feeling it now, and we're seeing the results of that. This fall, there were a number of issues springing up across areas. It'll start to become more of a factor if prices stay below cost here another year. You'll start to see more cracks in the financials and in many situations. I think it's going to take a sharp pencil, and I hear a lot of producers talking about ways, how can we cut cost? How can we do things that keep our costs down in this environment? And I think that's going to be the primary focus.
Greg Groh of Archer Financial Services, back after this.
Stockman, if you're seeking a dependable herd bull with hybrid vigor and great traits, call Leuenberger. He has 28 head of yearling to two-year-olds available for immediate pickup or delivery. These feature calving ease and are ripe for expanding or replacing your herd bull. Call Leuenberger at Waterville today. Cell phone 268-0647 or home phone 363-2645.
Farming America is a presentation of the Tribune Radio Network. I'm Steve Alexander.
Klein Realty and Auction announces a farm machinery auction on Saturday at 11:30. Scott and Shannon Strothman are selling good Case IH farm equipment. A 2006 Case IH tractor with just a little over 3,200 hours. A 2009 Case IH combine that's always been shedded in good shape. A 2009 Case IH Flex Draper head, as well as a 2009 Case IH 8-row 30-inch corn head with poly snouts. A 2010 header trailer, as well as a 2010 J&M manufacturing grain cart with corner uploading auger. The auction takes place this Saturday starting at 11:30 near Goff, Kansas at 414 State Highway 62. Sign the farm machinery of Scott and Shannon Strothman. For more information, contact Klein Realty and Auction.
Like everything around us, agriculture and rural living is changing. Kansas Farm Bureau's Farm Weekend brings you the stories, the voices, and the passion of farm families living and adapting to these changes. Farm Weekend on KNDY, Farm and Home Information Radio, a service of the Marshall County Farm Bureau Association.
Thursday's sale day at Marysville Livestock Incorporated, expecting upwards of 1,000 head of cattle for the sale today. Early consignment listings include 10 black cows, fall calves running age, 14 black pairs running age, 15 black steers weigh 350 to 450, 7 mixed steers and heifers 350 to 5, 7 black steers and heifers 350 to 550, 12 mixed steers and heifers 450 to 550. 71 black steers and heifers 4 to 550, 90 weighing in at 4 to 6, 90 weighing in at 4 to 6, 15 weighing 4 to 6, 24 weighing 450 to 550. 13 black steers 450 to 575, 86 black steers and heifers 450 to 6, 20 black steers and heifers 5 to 6, 9 black steers and heifers 550 to 650, 60 black and crossbred heifers 825 to 850, and 58 black steers weigh 875 to 9. Those early consignment listings for the sale today at Marysville Livestock Incorporated, reminding producers of a Holstein special scheduled March 31st. 729 from KNDY. Breezy yesterday, and that brought a change in weather conditions. Some moisture, not a lot. We did get a mix, and then it changed over to snow overnight. We've got a dusting of white snow here on this 24th day in March. 30 degrees this morning in Marysville with a cloudy overcast. Highs middle 40s today, warming up into the Easter weekend again.
It's the sports report from Mid-America Network News. I'm Stephanie Austin. It's hard to remember now with the Kansas earning the top overall seed in the NCAA tournament and advancing to its first Sweet 16 since 2014. Well, what's it going to take to win? Some people think defense, and some people think it's all about guarding. If they can guard, then the rest will come. KU faces fifth-seeded Maryland at 8:40 tonight in the NCAA regional semifinals. Now let's take a look at baseball. Tyler Naquin homered twice, and Francisco Lindor and Jason Kipnis also homered to power the Cleveland Indians to a 7-6 win over the Kansas City Royals last night. Naquin hit his first two home runs of the spring. He also doubled and scored an RBI single by Mike Napoli. That's your sports report from Mid-America Network News. I'm Stephanie Austin.
When you're in the oil and gas industry, you feel the effects of low oil and natural gas prices. However, prices are not your only barrier. That's why it's imperative that your membership continues with the Kansas Independent Oil and Gas Industry.
Yes, my name is Craig Pangburn, and I'm the president of TNC Manufacturing and Operating Inc. here in Great Bend, Kansas. Our business is actually 19 years old, and we've been a member for 19 years. They are the voice for everybody. We're not just here at the state level, but also at the federal level.
It's vital that Kansas oil and gas producers have a strong voice in Topeka and Washington at all times on every issue critical to your success. The challenges facing the industry continues to grow in numbers and complexity. Your membership helps you be an important part of Cayuga's voice and allows you to receive information that keeps you competitive and current on industry issues and trends. Help make a difference. Become or stay a Cayuga member today. Get details in your application at Cayuga.org.
In the NBA, with 11 games left in the regular season, the Golden State Warriors increasingly look like they will maintain their home court advantage through the playoffs and against their toughest rival, the San Antonio Spurs. The Warriors remained four games up on the Spurs after beating the LA Clippers 114-98 behind Steph Curry's 33. Clay Thompson added 32 for his 15th 30-plus point effort this season. The Warriors are 64-7 overall, 33-0 at home following their 51st straight regular season home victory. In other NBA action in San Antonio, it looks like the San Antonio Spurs beat the Miami Heat 112-88 to improve their home record to 36-0. The Spurs are 60-11. LeBron James scored 26 points and Kevin Love added 24, and the Cleveland Cavaliers scored a 113-104 victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm Stephanie Austin.